Man, that was a great song, but we come this far by faith, can't turn around. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. How far we've come by faith. We still got a ways to go, but we've made it this far, and we're going to make it all the way. I'm church. We're going to make it all the way. If you plan to make it all the way, just say amen.
Amen.
Encourage somebody. Tell them, make it all the way. That's right. Make it all the way. Tonight, some people needed a double make it to make it all the way. Tonight, Cynthia and I were supposed to divide classes. I was supposed to teach the men. She was going to teach the women. She's not feeling well, so but she'll come in another time and have a ladies' class. So, ladies, we want to thank you for coming to the men's class. We're going to make a few adjustments so that things will be apropos to meet your needs. But the brothers, we got to have a little talk about integrity tonight. So let's pray together and ask God to be with us here. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, how amazing he is. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is our brother. He is the firstborn from among the dead. God, we know that through him all things that have been made were made, and that he holds the universe together. And God, we come in his name, praising you for our salvation, thanking you that we can know him and that through him we can know you. Bless our time together tonight. Help us to imitate his integrity and to walk in his steps. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, integrity. Now, in the men's class, we were going to start off by defining integrity, the definition of integrity. So tell me, what do you think integrity is? What do you think it is? And I know there's some very smart people in the room. Don't Google it. Yes. Truth. Very good answer. All the way in the back. He said, acting the same way in front of people, or acting the same way in private as you do in front of people, right? Very good definition. Yes, sir, with the glasses. Okay, doing the right thing. I want to make sure I get every section. Yes.
Following your inner core values.
Following your inner core values. You couldn't wait to say that, could you? I mean, you just leaned up and just, that she knows she got a deep meaning on that one. Okay, let's go back over. I can't. Okay, back over here. Yes. Excuse me? She said holiness? Wholeness. Okay, wholeness. All right. We can work with that. Okay, right here again. What did he say? Okay, see, you got to understand, I do better when Cynthia and I are together. We've been together so long, 37 years. It takes two of us to get things together. She can't see stuff and I can't hear stuff. So between the two of us, this is how we watch a movie. I can see it, but she can't hear it. So that's how we get through. That's how we travel. It's like, what is that? So that's why I need her. So I would be better off tonight if she was here. Okay, in the middle section, then we'll go back over here. Yes, ma'am. Being honorable, yes, and then finally, yes, sir.
Yes.
Let your yes be yes. Those are brilliant answers. Class dismissed. You've got it. You know what integrity is. But you know, knowing what integrity is and applying it to your life, that's the real challenge. Am I right? That's the real challenge of walking with integrity in our personal lives. Really, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that are unwavering, no matter what the situation. Having integrity means doing the right thing in a reliable way. It's a person having a moral compass from which they won't stray. It literally means, as someone said, having wholeness. We got any math people in here? What do you call the whole number in math? What do you call it? Integer, right? Anybody got that? So integrity is wholeness. It's being one. No fractions with integrity. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, help me out with this. Remember, ladies, you're part of the men's class. Glad to have you here. Why do we need to talk about this tonight? Why do we need to talk about integrity? Is it a viable topic in our society today? Do we even need to discuss this, or are we just having another religious meeting? Why do we need to talk to me? Why do we need to talk about this? Anybody over here? Yes, sir. Stand up, man. I didn't know I was calling a celebrity, but that's all right. Okay, Tim. All right, since we live in a society where people act off of emotions more than values. Okay, anybody in this section? Okay, yes, sir. Another celebrity. Okay. No, okay. All right, we see in our world today people who in high places lack integrity, and we see the fall as a result of it. Okay, now I called on you one. Yes. All right, so we do have a lot of leaks and people not holding to their confidences, and we see that in our world today, and that's very hurtful and very harmful. I'll come back to you, Sharon, just wait a minute. Okay, over here. Speak up loud, bro. Okay, all right. And so in our world today, we do need people who model integrity. And Christians ought to be the people that do that. I mean, prayerfully, there are others that do it, but definitely it should be disciples. Okay, sister, this better be good. Principles and will help get you to heaven. All right, that was a long conversation you had with that man. I will not comment any further, but I'm sure there's some good friends who will help you with that. So I want to break it down into two things tonight. And remember, thank you for being at our class. I want to talk about some of the benefits of integrity versus the consequences of a lack of integrity. So we're going to take some time to talk about that. And I want to start off with some quotes, and I want you to be thinking, just what are the benefits of integrity? What are the benefits of having a moral compass? What are the benefits of being true to yourself and not compromising no matter what the pressure or the circumstances are? Now, there are some famous people that have made some great quotes concerning integrity. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "The supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it is on a section gang, a football field, in an army, or in an office." I think that's a good quote. Michelle Obama said, y'all know who she is, right? She said, "We learned about honesty and integrity, that the truth matters, that you don't take shortcuts or play by your own set of rules, and success doesn't count unless you earn it fair and square." I thought that was a great comment. Stephen Covey, and a lot of you have read his books, says, "Moral authority comes from following universal and timeless principles like honesty, integrity, and treating people with respect." Tom Watson, a famous golfer, said, "Golf is a game of ego, but it is also a game of integrity. The most important thing is you do what is right when no one is looking." And that is truly the test of integrity. Now, let me give you some biblical scriptures, some biblical principles on this. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Proverbs 10, verse 9 says, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." So according to this scripture, the benefit of integrity is that you walk securely. You have a secure relationship with God. You have a secure relationship with others. You have a secure relationship in your employment because you're not doing anything crooked. But he who takes crooked paths will be found out. And some people may get away with things for many years, but ultimately it will catch up with them, if not the day of judgment. We will have to give an account for what we've done. Proverbs 11, verse 3. Proverbs 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Through integrity, the benefit, proper guidance, principles on how to live a productive life, we gain through integrity. The consequence is destruction, loss of respect, loss of trust, loss of secular standing, even loss of salvation, if you're not a person of integrity. And then finally, Proverbs 13:6 says, "Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner." You see, when you're a person of integrity, you have boundaries, you have standards, and they keep you on the straight and narrow road. They keep you centered in God, centered in Christ, centered in the things that make a difference in life. And the thing is, the standard that Christ calls us to is even higher than the standard that the world calls us to, so we're safe. But wickedness overthrows the sinner. Failure is a result of a lack of integrity. Loss, even labeling. You know, if I name certain people tonight, you would automatically think certain thoughts because of their lack of integrity. And they've never been able to shake that label. But what I want you to understand tonight before we move on is that God is pleased
with integrity. So before we get into that, can you think of any other benefits of integrity? Help me out. Benefits of integrity. You want to share from this conversation you had? No. Okay, all right. Someone who hadn't spoken before, yes. Loud, bro, say it loud. Okay, okay. Confidence, all right? All the way in the back with the glasses. Oh, I know you. Oh, okay, hey. Okay, peace of heart and peace of mind. Can you put a price tag on that? I mean, when you know you're living right and doing right, you have peace. But when you compromise, you always wonder, am I going to get caught? Is it going to catch up with you? Yes. Okay, all right. He says, hey, when you live integrity, you don't even have to defend yourself. Because you know you've done the right thing, you're going to be okay, right? I mean, if you throw a rock, it's the hit dog that howls, right? And so when you live in integrity, you can throw all the rocks you want to because I'm good. It's not going to hit me. I'm going to be all right. All right. So, but what I want to help you with is God is so happy when his saints live by integrity. I mean, you can't even imagine how pleased God is when you, as a Christian, when no one's watching, do what's right. When you, as a disciple, when you're confronted, that you do the right thing, that you humble yourself and you follow the example of Jesus. Whether it's in your dating life or in your professional life or in your family life, when you're a person of integrity, God is watching and he is so pleased. And I think a great example of this is Job. Job is an amazing example of this. And the thing you've got to understand is God is approached by Satan, or at least he asked Satan, you know, what are you doing? And he says, I'm roaming the earth. And he was looking for someone just to tempt and to lead away, and lead away from the Lord. And in Job 2 and verse 1, it says, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came to present himself before him. I don't know what that was like. It was like they were having a little staff meeting or whatever, and Satan showed up too. He used to be on staff, but he got fired. But he showed up this day. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, do you think this kind of thing still goes on? And can you imagine God saying, have you considered my servant and put your name in the blank? Says you're looking for someone to lead astray? Then consider her. Consider him. I mean, would you wish for that? And you know what the Lord goes on to say about Job? He says, there's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Now, by this time, Job had already had so much taken away from him. And Satan comes back again, and God says, have you considered him? And the reason I want you to consider him is because he is a man of integrity. He won't bend. He won't compromise. He won't give in. And no matter what you hit him with, He's going to stand firm. He's going to trust in me. He's not going to blame other people. He's not going to blame me. He's going to stand strong in his convictions. And God was able to put him out there. And of course, after Job has gone through all of this, his wife begins to disciple him. And his wife comes to him and says, in Job 2 verse 9, are you still holding to your integrity? That's what it says. Curse God and die. Now this is the man's wife. This is not those other jokers who are going to come along later and his friends and try to counsel him. This is his closest partner. And she's saying, dude, give it up. Leave the church. Get out of that family group, life group, whatever you're in, Bible talk. Get this, just go back to the world. This ain't working for you. This is not working for you. As a matter of fact, just curse God and die so I can get the inheritance, which was taken. And what does Job say? He says, you're talking like a foolish woman. Now, for future reference, when you get married, he didn't call her a fool. He says, you're talking like a foolish woman. See, there's a big difference, right? And he goes on, he says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And all of this, Job did not sin in what he had said. This is an amazing example of integrity. And this is what God calls us to have as our standard of righteousness for his glory. Because it's all about what? Pleasing God. Giving glory to God. You know, in Ephesians, we're told to find out what pleases the Lord. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is pleased with integrity. And you may be here tonight thinking, well, nobody recognizes me, or nobody knows the battle I'm in, or the struggle I'm in, or what I'm going through, and nobody's in touch with that, and the challenges that I'm facing on my job, or with my health, or with my family, or with my finances, and I'm still trying to hold to the straight and narrow road and do the right thing, and sometimes it just doesn't turn out all that awesome, and God is looking at you saying, I'm pleased. I notice. I see it. And I rejoice because you are holding firm to your convictions. You see, church, you gotta hang in there because you're the hope of the world. And if you give up, how are people going to find God? You know, I'm celebrating, is this April? April 26th. That's how fast the days are going by. I'm going to celebrate my 45th year as a disciple. April 26th. And Cynthia is older than me in the Lord. And this past fall, my wife and I, we went back to my hometown, Wilmington, North Carolina, and I got an opportunity to preach to a little church of 30 disciples. A church has been planted there, and 10 family members came with us. So we made a big difference in the attendance that day. Not too much difference in the contribution I saw, but we did make a difference in the attendance. And then my brother and his wife, they came. My sister came, cousins came, my mom came. And my brother's wife just kept coming. And they kept coming, they kept going. And about 3 weeks ago, he called me on the phone and he was weeping on the phone. And he said, you know, I never realized how much I'd hurt God and that I'd never repented of my sins. And he said, man, he was, you know, you have one of those out of control cries, you know, and I'm holding back the tears myself, and I pray with him,
And then a week later, he gets baptized. And that's after 44 years. 44 years of church services, 44 years of midweeks, 44 years of Bible talks, 44 years of contributions, 44 years of dealing with all kinds of folks. years of insults and challenges. But I decided when I got baptized in 1975 that I'm not quitting. And it was a test of my integrity. Not that I'm all that. But if I don't remain faithful, I close the door. Most likely, I close the door. And then a week after that, his wife got baptized. So I'm looking forward to going home because, you know, I got a new brother in the Lord. I got a new sister-in-law in the Lord. But what it shows me is that you should never give up. You should never give in. You should never shrink back. You should hold to your integrity because somebody's watching what you're doing. Somebody's watching. And you may think, oh, it's not getting through. But your family members, they want to know, is this church thing really real for you? Are you going to compromise? And the amazing thing about God is that even when we blow it, he takes us back and lets us start all over. Other examples of integrity, and then we're going to get back to our class that I was doing with the men. Joseph. Joseph is another great example of integrity. Because Potiphar's wife comes to Joseph in Genesis 39 and says, come to bed with me. The Bible says he was well built and handsome. She noticed him and she says, come sleep with me. And you know what Joseph did? He refused. He refused. He didn't just go, you know, that's not a good idea. I'm impressed that you would you know what I'm saying. Wow. Dog. Seriously? I can't do it, but wow. I'm gonna go back and tell my other servant dudes, man. His wife's coming on to me. That's not what he did. He refused. You see, sometimes we need to learn how to just say no. Can you say that with me? No. Say it again. No. I mean, when you go out with me on a date, you're not a Christian, what do you say? No. This girl's coming on to you, and you're like, no. Not happening. Not happening, right? That's integrity. David was a man of integrity. Listen at this scripture. In Psalm 78 and verse 70, I love this. The Bible says that God, the Lord, chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep, and he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel's inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. David was a great king because for most of his life he was a man of integrity. And you say, well, what about Bathsheba? Well, even in that, when David was finally confronted and he was told, you are the man, you did this, he made no excuses. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord took away that child that Bathsheba had at that time. And David said, look, if the Lord decides to do so, that is his will. I will not complain. I will not resist his will. See, you can show integrity even in how you respond when you're in the wrong. Really, that's one of the real tests of integrity is, do we own it? Do we say, yes, it was my fault.
I have no excuse. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Or do we come up with all kinds of things? Well, if you only knew my childhood, or the neighborhood I grew up, or the day I had, or the week I had, or the isms I had. What? Or the triggers I had. What? Are you wrong or not? Sort of. I mean, we just pull that Eve thing too many times. It's the people you put with me. It's the situation I'm in. Instead of me. I mean, why did you take of the fruit that God told you not to? Whose fault is it? Well, the devil told me to do it. Then Adam, why'd you eat it? Well, the woman that you gave me. I didn't ask for her. I was fine. I mean, it's like, it's like we're all, our attitude is, I would be great, my life would be great if I didn't have to deal with people. People are why you're here. Good grief. I mean, show some integrity, right? And just own it. Own it. Say I'm sorry. I've had to do that many times. And then finally, Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Jesus never made an excuse. Matter of fact, when people mistreat him, he didn't even retaliate. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Whenever you're in that mood where you say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows what I'm going through, Sam. Nobody. Ain't nobody had to do what I'm having to do. Ain't nobody been single long as I have. No. Nobody had to be in the region I'm in, dealing with the stuff I mean, it's never happened before in the history of mankind. What I'm going through. And what does the Bible say here? Jesus was tempted in every way, and even beyond that, and he held his integrity. He was without sin. So we're going to close out here with how you become a person of integrity. Can we just make it practical? All right. How to have integrity. And you know, you have your own list, but for sake of time, because some of you got to get home and watch your favorite show that you DVR and you don't want to be up too late. How to have integrity. Number one, keep the word of God as your standard. Keep the word of God as your standard. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you're not having daily Bible study, daily quiet times, if you're not memorizing scripture, meditating on scripture, it's going to be hard for you to keep your integrity, because it's in those times when your integrity is tested that you need to go to the scriptures. You need to be able to quote the scriptures. You need to be able to say, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You got to be able to quote those scriptures. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within him, within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. I have a power in me. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. You got to hold on to that and have this stuff written on your heart. Secondly, keep your word. Someone said earlier, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Matthew 5:36-37. He says, don't even swear. But when you say you're going to do something, do it. And don't say you're going to do it if you're not going to do it. Just say, I can't do it. I'm not up to it. I'd like to, but I can't. But if you're going to say you're going to do something, keep your word. Keep your word first to God. Keep your word to others. Thirdly, don't cheat or steal. I shouldn't have to tell you that. But you know, during tax season, the temptations come your way. And Leviticus 19:11 says, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. That's Old Testament. You know, a few years ago, I ordered some Timberland shoes. You know, Timberlands are not cheap. And they accidentally sent me two pairs instead of one. I checked, you know, did they charge me for two? No, they charged me for one. And I couldn't find a Timberland. I called up Timberland. They thought I was crazy. I wanted to give them back the free pair of shoes, the extra pair. And then finally, I got to go to a mall down in Jersey Gardens Mall, somewhere down there. Exit 11, 10, something. I don't know. I just happened to be down there. And I walked in the Timberland store, and I had this new box of shoes, and I said, these are yours. I didn't pay for them. You sent me two pair. And they said, you want a refund? I'm like, refund would be good right now. You know, little light in the pocket right now. Refund. I'm in the mall. I could be having some fun with a refund. And I said, no. You sent me two pair, and I'm bringing them back. And of course, they're like, what's wrong with this fool? Well, I put the shoes on the counter and walked out because no one was going to understand. And so, but there's someone else who's watching. You see, you serve the audience of one. And if there's no one else in the room, remember he's there, right? Fourthly, don't betray confidences. I think someone said that earlier. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Now, let me help you out with this. Just a little discipling. If someone comes to you in confidence and said, I killed somebody, if they won't go and turn themselves in, betray the confidence. You understand me? If someone's caught in some sin, and they won't go straighten it out, you tell them, you go talk to these people, I'm going to betray the confidence. Don't join in the sin. But let people know, I will keep the confidence if you keep your commitment to repent and change. Amen? Where am I? I'm at number five. Okay, number five. Pay your debts. Can I get an amen, church? Pay your debts. If you owe somebody money in here, pay them back. Anybody here owe money? Anybody owed money? I mean, I've been owed money my whole life. I'm still trying to find that brother who borrowed $20 from me 10 years ago. You know, times were hard 10 years ago. He took my $20. I ain't seen him yet. He disappeared. I want my $20 and the interest. No, I'm over. But in Romans 13:7, it says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Take care of your debts. Pay your rent. Pay your rent. Come on, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. How you gonna invite your landlord to church if you ain't paying the rent? He's not gonna come to church with you. I don't blame him. I wouldn't go with you either. Talking about you love some Jesus. Jesus paid his debts. He paid his taxes. And they tried to trap him and said, well, you know, why are you doing this? Jesus said, give the season what the season. And to God what is God. You give the government what's theirs. And you give God what's his. Pay your debts. Do not gossip. That's integrity. Don't gossip. You know, the Bible says the gossip betrays a confidence. Proverbs 20:19. So avoid a man who talks too much. Some of us just need to shut up sometime. Have some integrity. And, or some of us would go, oh, I tell you, I ain't gonna tell you. But girl, if I told you, I ain't gonna tell you, but if you just knew. If you just knew. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it, it happened in the kingdom. Now you know they're gonna be after you now. Oh, you gotta tell me now. They're like Delilah on Samson. Now you gotta tell me, They didn't wear you down. Sometimes we just need to say, what do you think? Nope, not going there. Not gonna help anybody in this room. And really talk about other people like you want them to talk about you. Where am I? 7, okay. Keep a high standard of personal righteousness and purity. I thought I'd get more amens on that. Keep a high standard of personal righteousness and purity. P-U-R-I-T-Y. Right? Matthew 6. I'm sorry. Where am I? I got to go back. I got the wrong scripture. Psalm 17, verse 3. Psalm that says, though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. You can test me. I'm a person of integrity. I'm going to be fine. You can look at what I look at on the internet. I'm going to be fine. You can look at my Instagram or my whatever, Facebook. I'm good. Go ahead and look at it. It's fine. Ain't none of your business, but you can look at it. Anyway. A high standard. How's your dating life? How's your dating? How's it going? Man, we lose more people over relationship than almost anything else. And it's the devil's trap. Be a person, brothers. Take care of the sisters. Understand what I'm saying? Take care of them. Please. You know, it's hard staying righteous. Am I right? It's hard. So let's help each other, right? Just help each other. Don't put me in a compromising situation. You know, go home. When the day is over, just go home. Go home. Just go. 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 Boy, you don't like me? I do like you. Go home. I'm trying to keep it practical. Next, be honest and open with close friends. Have close friends that you can be transparent with. Proverbs 27:6, woundsome a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Who really knows you? You know, it's amazing to me how in the church, how many people are loners. We talk about discipleship, but so many Christians are just loners. You ask them, who's your best friend? Who's the best friend? I ain't got no best friends. Who really knows you? Who knows the deal with you? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. Who knows what your shortcomings are? Who you're connected with? Who do you pray with about those things? Next, do the right thing without expecting any reward or praise. Matthew 6, 2 through 4. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, don't announce it. But do the right thing and don't expect praise. Don't be waiting for your name to be in the church bulletin. You know, they didn't recognize me. All I'm doing, they ain't recognized me yet. When they gonna recognize what I done? Stop it. Just do a good deed and don't tell anybody about it. Right? Instead of, you know, wearing your t-shirt, I served. Integrity. Don't listen to people who encourage you to compromise or take shortcuts. Bad company does what, church? Even in the church. And he goes on, Proverbs 13:20, one of my favorite scriptures.
He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm. You're either hanging out with the wise or you're hanging out with fools. Who's your company? Don't listen to people encourage. You know, in the world, people like, they ain't gonna catch you. They don't care. You add one digit to them taxes, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, people are like, everybody else is doing it. Why not? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? No, what's wrong with you? You know, don't compromise. I got two more, then I'm done. It says, don't let someone else take the blame for something you did. It happens. The Lord approached Saul. He sent Samuel to approach Saul in 1 Samuel, verse 15. And he says, did you kill Anak and all the Amalekites? And he says, I did. And Samuel said, no, you didn't. I did. No, you didn't. What's this bleeding of sheep and these, what's this noise of, oh, that. That's what you thought, oh, the men, the soldiers. That's them, not me. I obeyed the Lord, they disobeyed the Lord. No, own it. Don't let other people get blamed for something you did. And then finally, when someone hurts or disappoints you, don't drag them down in front of others. Now, I want to do a little survey as we come to a close. Anybody in here been hurt before? In Jesus' name? Anybody in here been disappointed before? Huh? All right. Anybody in here been lied on? Uh-huh. Yep. Look at the hands going up. Everybody raising their hands. It happens. Sometimes people let you down. Anybody had their heart broken in here? Anybody had it? I'm sorry. I mean, who did that to you? Let's just talk about that, brother. Let's lay it out. What that sister done to you? Can't believe she did that. And sometimes it just gets all in us and we just can't let it go. We can't even hear the sermon. What was the sermon? I don't know. I'm just know all I know is somebody did me wrong. Be a person of integrity. Let it go. Don't drag them down in front of others. Let me tell you something. Most people in the kingdom, I said this in the whole church last time we preached, before you find the right person, you're going to get your heart broken a couple of times. Now, preferably, you strike gold the first time. But that ain't how it happens. I had a girlfriend before I met Cynthia, and she was a disciple. But it didn't work out. And I'm sorry about that. And now she's tested on my, I'm tested. And it was like, just wasn't meant to be. And she went on, she got married, and life progressed. Now I gotta move on. You know what I'm saying? And there's some other people I like. It didn't work out, and they were mad at me. I didn't know they was mad at me until later. But it happened. They thought I let them on. I mean, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. And I'm sure the things they said about me in that little circle, oh, I'm glad I didn't hear. But anyway, it's like integrity just says, sister, I done confessed. It's over. It's done. I got to move on. Is that real? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And we're all listening. And God is listening. Be a person of integrity. And as we started tonight, the brother read the scripture, and I thought it was perfect. He read, guard my life and rescue me. Psalm 25, verse 20. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. God rewards integrity. Short time or long, you hold to your convictions. You keep your moral center focused on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You imitate Jesus. You worship Jesus. You praise Jesus. You stay connected to Jesus. You be a man or woman of integrity to God's glory. Sisters, I want to thank you tonight for joining the brothers for their class. God bless.